Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Welcome to episode 4 of the official Nerd Talk podcast, Geek Speak. I'm your host, Sean. And joined, as always, on this wacky and silly episode is my co-host, Josh, president of the Todd Chavez fan club, Rudy Rudolph. This is the podcast where we watch movies, make movies, play games, and more. What else can you ask for? Also, happy Pride Month.
Yes, happy Pride Month to everyone and anyone that celebrates. We here at Geek Speak love everyone, no matter how they identify, what their sexuality or anything is. Like, everyone is welcome here. And yes, so we love you all.
Do you like your nickname this week?
Yes, I love Todd on BoJack Horseman. If you have not watched BoJack Horseman, great show. Todd is the best character. And yes, I love him.
If you have not watched BoJack Horseman and are at least like probably 18, then watch it. Because it's a R-rated show.
18. I started watching this when I was 16. That was a mistake.
Yeah. This is... speaking on BoJack, have you watched anything good lately yourself?
That is a great question. I
have a few I want to say, so you go first.
Okay. I just started Netflix's new show Sweet Tooth, based on the DC comic.
Yeah.
I've only seen the first episode, but from what I've seen, I am loving it so far. I'm very excited to see where it goes. As for other things, I started the third season of Master of None on Netflix. That is fantastic as well. Been rewatching some of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Great show. If you have not watched Mythic Quest on Apple TV, if you have that, fantastic show, really funny. I've fallen behind on High School Musical, the musical, the series, and I'm disappointed in myself for that.
But mostly TV right now.
Yeah, and I just started Kim's Convenience because of Simu Liu, who's starring in Shang-Chi. He's in that show, so I decided to start that. Pretty funny so far.
Nice. I'm on season 4 of BoJack Horseman. I've been binging that. I watched about 3 seasons in about a week.
It'll happen to you.
You told me to take a break after season 3. I did not. And honestly, I thought it was going to be a lot darker than it was because of how much you said take a break.
Yeah, I think it was because like I just like went into it raw, having absolutely zero clue of what was going to happen. And then binging 3 seasons and then just getting to the end of the 3rd season, I was just like, oh, so this is what depression feels like.
Oh my, yeah. BoJack's a great show. It's the cast... Aaron Paul is fantastic in it.
I love, and like you haven't even finished Breaking Bad, so to me, for you going from BoJack to soon watching Breaking Bad is gonna be great.
For viewers or listeners, my next show after BoJack Horseman is gonna be Peaky Blinders, and then either Game of Thrones or Breaking Bad. So, I'm trying to binge all the TV that I'm supposed to have watched in my lifetime.
I've been watching Game of Thrones for the past few months now. I'm on season 5, just started, loving it so far. And so no one ever say anything about how it goes because I have no idea where it goes.
So far we've gotten no like comments or like emails or anything like that yet. Please email us at nerdtalkproductionsyt@gmail.com or tweet at us at nerdtalk_broad using the hashtag GeekSpeakPod. We'd love to interact with you all if you're listening. Cause we have listeners and we know that now. So stick around and it'd be fun to interact.
You can
get free shout-outs.
Yes. You say spicy banana wiener. We'll shout it out. I don't know why you would say that, but we'll shout it out if you want to.
My dad listens to this podcast, so thank you for that, Josh. I've also watched Mitchells vs. the Machines.
Oh, such a good movie.
And speaking of Pride Month, I love what they did in that movie.
It's so good. It's so subtle, but at least it's not like how Disney has been doing it recently. Yeah. They don't like make it a whole thing and shoot themselves in the foot when they do that. It's nice.
I love how in this movie, how subtly they did her sexuality and how it was they treat it like a normal person. He's like, wait, what do you mean? I said, well, she wore a pride flag pin the entire time. And at the end, they had the moment about how the character's like casually, are you in Jada, like, official now? Oh, spoilers. Actually, that's not really spoiling anything, like, at all.
No. It is a very minor thing compared to everything else.
Yeah, that doesn't say anything about the movie. It says that there's a character who's queer, which is awesome.
I also loved, like, in the beginning, like, because, like, when it was flashing back to, like, her as a kid, like, showing the movie she made, and she was talking about, like, how I always never fit in, I always felt weird. I was just like, are you teasing that she might be gay? Because if you are, this is a great way to tease it, because that's a very realistic thing. So, good on you, movie. Also, and I was right.
Yeah, and also she had shining socks.
That's true.
Her socks were the pattern of the carpet in The Shining. Anyway, that was a great movie.
I love that movie so much.
And we love everyone, so please listen and enjoy us. And we're not saying that to be like to get people to listen to us. We're like, we genuinely love anyone who wants to hang out or chill because people are awesome.
Yes, the more people you invite into your life that aren't like you, the better and more interesting your life will be.
That's a fun quote. Anyway, that's what we watched lately. I've just been binging BoJack. That's it. It's like 4 a.m. Next up, though, is talking about this week's Disney Channel original movie. I got some notes. We watched, what was it, Josh?
Xenon, Girl of the 21st Century.
How would you, give a 5-word review.
Least sci-fi movie, 90s, meh, girl.
That's more than 5 words.
Look, I don't know what to say about this one. Like, out of all the ones we've seen, this is probably one of the ones I have the least to say about.
That's completely fair. I had a very, very strong reaction to this movie for no reason. And I'm going to tell you what my reaction is. Okay, for you, yay or nay?
I'm going to give this one a nay because it wasn't sci-fi enough for the sci-fi fans, and it wasn't, like, comedic enough for the comedy fans. And I guess if they were kind of going for like the like 90s like girl power whatever, like it doesn't even have enough of that. It like goes like halfway with everything but doesn't know where else to go.
This movie is a hard nay.
Yeah,
did not love it, but I'm not like, we're not saying it's good or bad, because again, I think people will love this movie. I think it's cute still. All the movies are kind of cute. That's not really the point. Let's go on my first. I starred my notes that I think are more important to say, which is nice. For my first starred note is everything they're saying is nonsense.
What are they saying? Like, there's, what is it? hold on. Let me find this. I need to find this.
So many quotes.
There's so many quotes. Come on. Where is it? It's something that sounds like a penis.
Yeah. That's my first note. Cetus Lupitus.
Yes, she says that so much. Every time I hear it, it just sounds like she's saying, see this penis.
I had to rewind it twice because she says it in the first, like, 2 minutes of the movie. It's her first line.
She says it so much. But, she also says stuff like, stellar major, he's viral in the extreme. Like, what is this nonsense?
Well, they actually gave you a lesson on dialogue in the movie, which I thought was really funny. But, Cetus Lupitus, when she first said it, I rewound it 3 times because I thought she said, Zenus, a penis. Also, the very first line that's not said by her is the line, may I be the first to tell you how stellinary you look. They do not use the word stellinary at any other point in the movie. And I want more context. I guess it's good.
This was credited as being based on a book of, I'm pretty sure it's the same title. I have to know what this book is like. Is it written like this, or was this Disney Channel-fied to be cool for the kids? Because just like, what is this nonsense? Like, this quote, macro is good, micro is bad, graphic is beautiful. What is this?
Right, I wrote that, something similar about that. I just start the word major, because everything is major, as they just say it in the wrong order.
For the longest time, I thought she was just referring to everyone as Major. I was just like, why are you referring to everyone as Major? What is happening?
You dumbass.
I'm aware of this fact.
The spaceship, when they first pulled up the spaceship, first off, this movie, what is it about? So it's very confusing to explain what it's about because there's no plot, really.
It's like Halloween Town, but less good.
Because Halloween Town is just a theme park. This isn't even that. So this movie, we're going to follow a girl whose name is actually, her actual name is Radon Carr, which is the dumbest name in the world. Xenon's better than that. She goes by Xenon. It's not like a middle name. She just goes, that's never explained either.
Lady Bird had more of an explanation as to why she calls herself Lady Bird.
Right. So Radon is her name, who left Earth at 5 years old with her parents, who are vague scientists who need to use a thing in space because it needs to be in space. That was pretty much the explanation.
There's like a bad CG mouse floating in like gravity. So there's that.
And that was why they needed to do in space, which I feel like you could replicate some things or not have an entire station with other kids on it for that. Also, this girl, Radon Carr, who at one point I wrote down her name was, I can't find her now. It was like Zoriathus. I named a bunch of different Z names at one point. But I then changed it all to Xenon because that's less confusing. But anyway, so she, her parents took her to the space station. This is also where the station's been in the space for 27 years, they said. But the world is still, like, 1990 with a few extra, like, hovering things.
Yeah, like, for sci-fi, like, this, like, because it takes place in the year 2049, which I find hilarious because the movie Blade Runner 2049 exists. So, to me, I just put it in that world, and it's hilarious. But, like, there's no, like, futuristic sci-fi stuff on Earth. Everything is pretty much the same. The only thing is, like, a solar panel, like, charging station for your car, which, that's not how you power solar-powered cars. They power themselves by the sun. You don't need to recharge them like that.
Yeah. Again, this movie's kind of nonsense. I did not like it. It is the bottom of the four to me.
It is easily the worst to me. It doesn't have anything like crazy about it, like You Lucky Dog. It doesn't have any kind of fun about it. Like Brink, like, is dumb, but it's a fun kind of dumb. And then you have Halloween Town, which is just fun. This,
So, plot wise, we still haven't finished the plot. So I'm gonna say in, like, probably two sentences. Girl from Earth goes to space, then because she's trying to solve a problem. And no one believes her, she goes back to Earth. And then she needs to solve the problem still, so she goes back to space. Is that the plot?
Pretty much.
Okay, cool.
I hate her parents in this. Just like the amount of times your daughter has come to you with evidence and like with witnesses and says like shit is about to go down. You need to listen to me. And they're like, no, you are a child. We will not listen to you. We smart scientists. Then as the ship is like, you know, malfunctioning and breaking, they're like, oh no, what's happening? Why is nothing working? And then you just see Xenon being like, I told you, you idiots. Why are you stupid?
Yeah, they're worse than Brink's dad.
But, oh my god, they're so much worse.
But the funniest part is she was on a call, which they called, I think, videograms, which is dumb. She was on a video chat call with her parents from Earth to space with perfect reception. Okay. And the weirdest part to me was she explained what was going wrong, asking, has anything else gone wrong yet? And here's why. And like, nah, it's all good. Don't worry. The second the call ends, more stuff happens. And like, I wonder what's causing this.
They're so stupid, but for no good reason. I hate it.
I starred in all caps. This is based on a book. That's crazy to me.
One of my favorite things was around the beginning, Xenon wants to go on a spacewalk for reasons I don't remember. And so she's out there, and then like her dad, like, you know, like sees her and reels her back in. And then they're talking to her, just saying like, why were you out there on a spacewalk? Like, you could fucking die. Like, you know, there's like asteroids and shit. Like, it's gonna be bad. And she's like, I can handle myself. I'm 13. I'm like, no, you cannot. It is space. Have you seen the movie Gravity with Sandra Bullock? She's an adult, and she could barely handle herself in that. So, like, no!
Also, clearly, she's also not watched Halloween Town. She was also 13 and couldn't handle herself.
I literally wrote that down. I was like, this is not going to a Halloween party at night. It is space.
some of the effects were okay. Some of them, not all of them. When the spaceship first pulled, like the visual of the spaceship, they zoomed out from a window to see this giant space station. And when it first started zooming out, I'm like, oh, this looks terrible. But then when I got to like a decent amount of zoom down, I'm like, okay, this looks like a Star Trek shot now. And that was cool. Just what the note from that is basically, don't blow up your 3D models too big and zoom into them. A 3D model that was that quality should not be that zoomed into.
Yeah. And like, I had a thought, like if you've seen the Seth MacFarlane's sci-fi show, The Orville, it's not graphics, it's special effects, especially when it comes to CG stuff. It's not the greatest, but like it's doing what it can do with like the budget that it has, because it's first was on Fox, but now it's about to be on Hulu. And like here, it's just like you had a budget that probably was pretty decent for the 90s, and like your effects look like this. Ow.
I think it's funny that in this universe, the first woman president is still Clinton.
I was just like, man, the irony here, yeah. Or just like this, I want to see in 2049, like if like Clinton's daughter like becomes president, and like Chelsea this movie Clinton. Like predicted the future.
They call her Chelsea Clinton. Also, the set and lighting in the movie remind me a lot of the TV show Power Rangers Lightspeed Rescue. If you've seen the show, you know what I mean. Josh has not seen that show, though.
I've not seen it, but it looks like one of those shows. Just like, I understand completely what you mean by the way the lighting and everything is. I'm just like, ugh.
Yeah, if I showed you some shots specifically from that show, though, you'd be like, oh yeah, that's the exact same kind of set. Xenon, as a fun side block, had to go to school.
I almost said human school. Wait, which school were we talking about? Space school or Earth school?
Both were dumb. But the things that happened were stupid. So I have a mini rant here. There's a moment where Xenon had to go to a chemistry class and she blew something up by accident because comedy, but it's because she used Celsius instead of Fahrenheit, and that bothered me a lot in the scene because the teacher's like, we use Fahrenheit here on Earth. I'm like, no, you do not in a science class, first off. If you are in a science setting, you will usually use Celsius or a variety of Kelvin, like a very high Kelvin number.
Yeah, you don't just use one form of temperature measurement.
Right. And often, if you're using Fahrenheit, you're going to tell your students first, because science is very specific. You tell them exact measurements in the correct thing. You can't assume which measurement type to use in science class. Because
I just want to...
In America... Yeah, go on.
No, you continue.
In American science classes, we still use Celsius for the most part. Anyway.
I just find what bothers me the most is that, like, she clearly, like, has school up in space and, like, is clearly learning, like, what normal kids learn. And then when she's on Earth, it's just, like, she's on a completely, like, different planet. Haha. But, like, it's, like, everything she was taught up in space, she was never taught, like, Earth stuff. It's just, like, you gotta lead the space station eventually. Like, wouldn't you want them prepared for life on Earth? Like, this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Here's a funny line, though. You'd fully blow an O-ring if we had to return to Earth, huh, Mom? What the fuck is an O-ring?
Tug on my tugger.
What?
That was a quote. Tug on my tugger. I do not remember who said this. I don't remember what the context was, but I wrote it down, and, like, I'm haunted by this.
When you first said it just now, they said hug on my tugger. That's different.
When her mom put on her stress helmet, I was just like, yeah. That is not a stress helmet. That is something for sex.
But I want it, because the stress-free helmet sounds nice.
I love that this movie doesn't escape the 90s at all, and like the Rockstar Boys still had the frosted tips from the 90s.
Yeah, they thought it was going to last so much. The director of this movie also made the movie Steel with Shaq.
Oh, no.
He also made a TV movie of the Incredible Hulk show with Lou Ferrigno, which that's fine.
Wasn't that back in like the 70s or 80s?
Yeah.
One of my favorite things was Xenon has two very weird falls during this movie. At one point, she like crawls out of a recycling thing because she was looking for clothing material or something. I don't remember. And like when she falls, she just kind of like ungracefully like leans out. She's like, oh, like that's yeah. Literally how she sounded. It just fell. And then the second time she falls is when she's getting off of the spaceship when she's on Earth. And then, like, she just, like, sneezes and, like, catapults herself forward down the stairs. It was so funny to me. That was, like, the only time I burst out laughing, but I wasn't supposed to.
I think the space kid actors were worse than the Earth kid actors.
Which is weird, because you had Raven Simone was one of the kids in space, and, like, okay. she's been acting since she was a child, and so here it's just like, you got nothing to do here, did you, Raven?
That's so not Raven. Let's see. There was a boat floating right above the water, like a flying boat, but like right above the water, and that was really dumb. Just have to be on the water. Here's a new thing we should play for no future DCOMs. How many DCOMs have a love stare? So we got Brink and Val.
Yep.
After the rock escapade, we have.
Think for a second. Wait, I had to think. Wait, who's Val again? I remember. It's the dude. I remember now.
We have Dogman and Dog.
Yep.
Xenon and the boy from Greg. His name. I first wrote down Lunch Boy because he met up lunch. There's a moment where after lunch, when she's. On Earth for the first time, having this little cafe lunch, she doesn't even eat. She just leaves. When she's leaving, the boy Greg just stares her down like intensely, and they stare each other. And it's like this weird like zoom in like love effect. I'm like, why? Like love at first sight did not need to happen for like 13-year-old.
I just remembered. So with Greg, there's a girl. What's her name? It starts Margie? With an M. Margie, yeah. Margie very clearly has the hots for Greg and does, like, everything to try to get his attention. The entire film, he completely ignores her. And then at the end, she literally just says, like, hey, I like you. Like, you know, let's go on a date. And he's like, read my lips, Margie. I do not like you. It's just, it was so, like, in her face. I was just like, this is really unintentionally funny. Okay, so remember when Xenon is, like, in gym and, like, they're going to do, like, the swimming stuff?
Yes.
And her gym teacher asked her, like, can you swim? And she said, yes, I can swim. Then Margie, like, shoves her in the pool. And then Xenon, like, is drowning. And then, like, you know, Greg pulls her out and saves her. And then he said, I thought you said you can swim. And she's like, yeah, in space. I'm just like,
what does that mean?
You clearly could see this is a pool of water, not the endless void of space. There is a very clear difference as to how that works.
Anyone could do that in space. You just hang there.
I have a note here that says, how is it every 13-year-old knows how to hack except for me? Because it's just like, there's just like a kid that's like able to hack into like this multi-billion-dollar corporation's like disk that's essential to the plot and like figure out what they're doing. I'm just like, you are a child. This is the 90s. No one knows how to use computers at this time.
That's my next note. My next note said, why can any kid just hack into anything in any movie? Also, the virus. Let's talk about that for a second. There is a weird virus that has an animation of a worm hatching out of an egg and crawling through a hexagonal page and breaking through the computer, and the computer fries and sparks. What?
That is some BVS putting logos in front of the Justice League members to kind of bullshit that I do not like.
You can just say it is a virus, or you can just have the computer fry. You don't even have to have a weird animation of an egg hatching open to release a toxic virus worm. That's so advanced.
I get it's for children, but still, like, what animators are you hiring to, like, animate this for you? Like, or discount Jim Rash? Like, do you know how to do it yourself? Also, like, the guy, he's not the main villain, but he's the main villain side villain. He looks like a discount Jim Rash from Community. Jim Rash played the dean in Community, if you've seen it. Now that I say it, Sean, do you see the resemblance at all?
Yeah, but he seemed also like he was, I don't want to insult an actor, never mind if I say something kind of mean. I'll say that the way he portrayed the role reminded me of a vulture mixed with a turtle mixed with a worm. Interpret how you will.
I could see it. At first, when you said a vulture, I thought, like, he's not Michael Keaton. He's not acting like him. What are you talking about?
I will also say that the Mr. Wingham. Oh, there's a villain.
Sort of. It's like Halloween Town. Like, there's a villain, I guess.
Something. Oh, my last note is about the villain. But the villain would also remind me of discount Alec Baldwin, and I can't explain it.
I think I can see where you're coming from.
Here's one of my notes says, he actually had a moment where it's like, you're not like other girls. you're different. And that made me cringe so hard. Don't do the Manic Pixie Dream Girl thought. What?
But I agree with you. Manic Pixie Dream Girl, stop that trope.
You're not like other girls. You're different. Like, Greg, that's not... Just because she's like... Don't... Nope. Anyway. I don't like Greg. He's sus.
Yeah, when he and Xeon are done with their quote-unquote date, like, it starts to rain. Xeon is just like, what's this? And he's like, it's rain. How do you not know about rain? And I was just like, yeah, Xeon, how do you not know about rain? You had science classes in space. This is a very easy thing to learn. Kindergartners learn about what it is.
If she knows Celsius, then she should know what rain is. Also, it rains on other planets, too. What?
I think progressively throughout the film, Greg starts to realize that Xeon is not worth it. Because by the end, like when the day is saved and everything, and Xeon is like on a video call with him, he just looks like so dead inside. God. Like he does not want to be talking to her.
I don't know what was purposeful in that exact same scene. In the end, there's a weird dance party scene with Frosted Tips Boy. If you haven't seen the movie. There's a scene in the end of the movie where everyone's singing and dancing because there's a huge contest for some reason about a rock star. This movie is so 90s and it's not in a good way. But so there's a scene and the video. So she video calls from space, perfect quality. Greg, the Earth boy, who she has a crush on and went on dates with, sort of. Like Josh was saying. And she blows a kiss to the camera and he does like a little salute. Doesn't blow a kiss back, doesn't smile, just, like, does a two-finger little hand wave. That's it. Like, do you hate her? He was like, I don't want this person anymore.
I think maybe he also realized that it's just, like, she keeps talking about how, like, space is her home and everything like that. And I think he realized, shit, she's in space now. I don't think she's coming back. Damn it, now I gotta date Margie.
No, he's gonna date the other kid, the hacker.
Oh, yes, of course. Match made in heaven.
Honestly, they had more chemistry than Margie did.
Oh, easily. Margie was just, like, always in the background. It's just, like, and, like, whenever she was, like, in the scenes after the pool scene, I'm like, Greg, why are you inviting her? She basically tried to murder Xeon, like, not intentionally, but, like, still. Like, why is she here?
And again, for reference, there's a group of three main children. Greg is white boy. Then we have Hacker Boy, who is friend. And then you have Margie, who's in love with Greg, white boy. And then Xeon comes down and is like, I'm going to date Greg. That's what happened with that. Also, Greg is a horse girl.
Yes, he works at a stable.
It's or never at least explained either.
Yeah, I guess he like works there somewhat, and like he introduces Xeon to like you know horses because again she doesn't really know what a horse is or like what it really looks like. My guess is that this started out as like maybe the book is like Xeon is actually like an alien from like a different world and goes to Earth, and like Disney Channel is just like nah she's got to be human, and she's like well none of this makes any sense if she's a human, but they did it anyway, and it still doesn't make any sense.
If you have seen this and if you've read the book, please email us. We want more knowledge. And we're not going to look it up. That's not fun. So if you were listening to this in a year from now, still email us. We'll still check.
Please.
Please. We need information on this, but without trying to look it up. Let's see. My last two notes, we have, in quotes, dozens of people and diehard rock fans. It is an exact line from a news reporter. And that implies two things. That rock fans aren't people. And that's the best part of that. But also, no, that's pretty much what it is. Dozens of people and diehard rock fans. But it also leads to questions of, can people not be rock fans? If you're a person, at what point do you change from a person to a diehard rock fan? Are you no longer a person? When do you give up your personhood for how much rock you listen to?
I don't know the answer to this one.
This is a big question.
One of my last notes is like during the final, like, oh, the ship is gonna crash, even though it's in space, nowhere near Earth's pull of gravity, so they're gonna be fine for a bit.
And they just float.
her phone thing got changed to like where she can call between the station and the Earth, but she can't make local calls to people on the station. Just like, you can go from here to thousands of miles to Earth, yet you can't call someone that's like 20 feet away from you, like in another room. Like, what kind of Xbox bullshittery is this? Like, what is this?
It made no sense. The movie as a whole is nonsense. This movie,
but not good nonsense.
No, this movie came down to insurance money. That's honestly amazing.
And like that part is also, it's just like, if you were so concerned about the insurance money, why did you keep pouring money into this? Like, wouldn't you have, it's just like,
Yeah. Also for the good guys, if you save the station, you also lose the station. Because he's trying to destroy it, but he's also the one funding it. So,
yeah.
You don't win. There's not a happy ending here. In any scenario. Yeah.
And, like, you know, once he's arrested at the end, like, who's to say that there aren't other lackeys, like, underneath him that are going to continue his plan to destroy the station or, like, dismantle it or something? Like, no one wins!
My last note of the movie as a whole is my last starred note, and that is, this movie is Thor mixed with the movie The Space Between Us, and nothing will change my mind.
I had not seen The Space Between Us yet, but it is about a boy that's like living in space for a long time that goes to Earth, correct?
Yes.
Okay, I can see where you're coming from on this.
It is the movie Thor and that mixed together, and it's, oh, they also have a thing of a horse moment in that movie too, I think.
In Thor? I mean, you're not wrong.
No, I meant in Space Between Us.
Oh, I thought you were just talking about the scene in Thor when he goes into the pet shop demanding a horse, and then he says, we have dogs. He said, give me one large enough to ride.
So that's the DCOM for the week.
This is the worst one we've seen so far.
Terrible. Don't watch it. You can skip it. Apparently, it's also like famously bad, I've heard.
It's just not, it's not good. It's not even an entertainingly bad. Like, Brink, like, I wouldn't really say is a good movie, but it is an entertainingly fun movie. Thing.
Again, these are all Disney Channel original movies. You know, these have TV budgets. We know that good and bad ranges in quality. This is just for us a nay. Like, you can skip this one.
Yeah, there's nothing, like, we're not, like, being, like, it's just not good because it's Disney Channel. No, it's genuinely just not that great.
Next up we're going to change the order here because to end the segment today, end the whole podcast, we're going to be doing the super weird story mixed with our main topic, because our main topic is basically just an extended weird superhero story. First thing is, you've seen Cruella de Vil, the Emma Stone Joker movie.
I mean, wouldn't necessarily, no, I'm, like, I can see where people are comparing it, but just, like, it's really not that. I mean, I might need to see both of them again, like, back to back, just to see,
no.
That's...
It's not saying it's the movie Joker, but it's a... never mind.
Wow.
But yes, you've seen Cruella.
Yes, I have. Good movie.
I've not seen it yet, but Cruella 2 is in the works, and you keep tweeting at me saying, this is just 101 Dalmatians. What is
literally
happening?
Like, the end of the movie, like, directly ties into 101 Dalmatians. It's like, this is where you're leading to. Call it 101 Dalmatians. Don't be scared. You've remade everything else. You've already remade this before. Why not remake it again? Like, what's the big deal here?
Honestly,
with not calling it 101?
Just bring back Glenn Close again, also, and just replace
both of them at the same time. Two Cruellas. Do it.
Cruella de Vil. Is this for you a Cruella sequel in the works of Disney? Is that a yay or a nay?
Like, I'm gonna give it a yay because I really did enjoy the first movie, and like the cast and like the director and writers are back, so like that's a good sign to me. But I'm also gonna give it a nay because it's not called 101 Dalmatians when that's exactly what it's gonna be. Unless it's not. If it's not, that's a big surprise. But hey, whatever, man.
I'm gonna give this a nay just to be against Josh because it's fun to be against him sometimes. Because it came out like a week ago, instead I saw Quiet Place Part 2, which is a better choice to me.
I would say see Quiet Place 2 first before you see Cruella.
And Cruella, also watched Quiet Place Part 2, and we did a podcast on it, so go check out the podcast.
Whoa, that's right, we did!
Crazy, but Cruella 2, I give a nay because...
Tuella.
because it's called Tuella, it's not called Tuella, and that's upsetting.
I think it should be. I hope it is.
Next up involves Seth Rogen. and Leonardo and Michelangelo and Raphael and Donatello.
He is making a movie about the famous Italian Renaissance painters. Yes. It's a bold and risky move for him, but I'm curious to see what it's going to be like.
Absolutely. So, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles reboot from Seth Rogen, Nickelodeon set for 2023. Thank you, Variety. So, and this says, grab a slice of pizza because the Heroes and a Half Shell are coming back to the sewers. Okay. So, Seth Rogen is producing a new Ninja Turtles animated CG reboot movie. And my thought is, okay, I don't really mind one way or the other. I love Ninja Turtles, so I'm fine with it. I would like more live-action Ninja Turtles stuff, though, honestly. But I would like it to be not the Michael Bayified version and not the like 80s campy version. You need a slightly healthier mix.
Yeah, for me, I have always been indifferent on the Turtles. Even when I was a kid, it was nothing that like never like really attracted me that much. And then like the 2007 movie came out, I saw it. They didn't really affect me. Then the Michael Bay versions came out, I saw them again. Didn't really affect me. I did watch Batman versus the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. fucking fantastic movie. I am not joking in the slightest. That is a great movie. If you're a Batman fan or a Turtles fan, watch it. It's great.
Fun.
But this, I'm actually like kind of excited for, because Seth Rogen has been like producing some of the best comic book shows to come out recently, with The Boys and Invincible. And those shows are incredible. If you haven't seen those, please check them out. So when I heard he was doing a Turtles movie, I was just like, okay, you've got my interest.
Also, Jeff Rowe, who co-directed and wrote the Netflix film The Mitchells vs. the Machines, will helm this film as well.
Yes!
That's awesome. So you did not know that part beforehand?
I did not.
That's great. And these turtles, I mean, let's be right into this 2007 movie called TMNT. That is my favorite turtle design for animation. And they've never done it again. I'm very upset by that. But that being said, this movie, I'm going to give a yay because more turtles is great. I love the turtles.
I'm going to give it a yay too. Turtles is something that I'm not entirely excited for, but with Rogan behind this, it makes me excited.
Didn't he work on The Boys?
Yes, he was in he was either producer or executive producer, but he helped bring the show to life, because I think the first comic book show he did was Preacher, and then it was The Boys, now Invincible. And he's actually he and Evan Goldberg are writing and directing an Invincible movie. Not sure when that's coming out, but it's going to be coming out sometime soon in the future.
Next up is a picture.
Wow, a picture in a podcast, crazy.
So if you've no, you all can, I'll show you all, blah, 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 blah. So I'll show you all where to find this. If you look up Warner Bros. And they Discovery. So Warner Brothers,
oh god,
released a new logo for their merger, which we talked about 2 weeks ago, I think.
So
yeah, Warner Bros. Yes. Discovery. It made a how to best to describe it? It is a sky. It's very nostalgia making. It's like it's kind of like the old clouds from like the 80s, 90s era WB. That's fine, but the clouds are more cartoony than that.
Yeah,
and it's that gold like word art font from like old PowerPoints, pretty much. And it's Warner Bros. Discovery, the stuff that dreams are made of. Imagine me in marketing and writing the word stuff on your logo.
I'm not a fan of it. I'm not a fan of the design. I'm not a fan of that slogan. I hope that it changes and that this is just kind of like a tease, but this is like what it's going to be changing to. I don't like it.
I kind of wish that it just went back to their old blue and gold logo.
Yeah, like, but
that'd be cool.
Like, stick with what the people already like. Why do companies feel the need to constantly change their logos every few years?
Because their old like blue clouds, and the bright blue and gold WB logo was awesome. I actually loved that as a kid. Like, it's right. That already felt nostalgic. So if you just brought that back, you'd bank on the nostalgia still without people getting upset with you.
I hate that they changed the WB shield now to like this white and blue thing that's like even smaller. I hate that design. If you've seen any like of WB's movies since Tenet to now, they changed the logo and I hate it.
I firmly agree. I want bring back the blue and gold, that old Scooby-Doo era. That's what we need more of. You say yay or nay to the new logo?
Nay. Right now, I see no reason to give this a yay.
Some things are pretty indifferent right now to me, but also just nay. This news week is not a huge news week. I don't know. No. It's not amazing. We'll probably have more. Hopefully, we'll have more news next week. In the Spider-Verse 2, which unofficially is not titled that officially yet, but it's a sequel.
I think it's Issa Rae. I could be wrong. I am horrible with names.
We are both incredibly white. I don't know most names, and that's just me not stating my ignorance. And we will hopefully get better at that. Issa Rae, actress, joined Spider-Man in the Spider-Verse as Spider-Woman, and I'm fine with that. Which Spider-Woman is she playing again?
I believe Jessica Drew.
Okay, awesome. I love that. Jessica Drew is a great character. I am giving this a tentative yay, but casting wise, again, I'm pretty different too. I've seen her in one movie. I saw her in what was the movie I saw her in? Rom com.
I don't know what you've seen her
hold
in.
Hold on.
I know I've seen her in The Photograph and The Lovebirds. I think she's really funny. I think she's a good actress. I'm always excited for casting.
Never mind, I've seen her in nothing. You like it? You like casting wise?
Yes, I think she's a good actress, and so I'm excited to see what what she does with the role.
I'm more excited that this news is happening in the first place, because that means that we're getting potentially more Spider-Man news coming soon too.
Wait, wasn't like a couple months ago? Wasn't Olivia Wilde confirmed to be making a Spider-Woman movie, of Spider-Person movie?
I think it was at least rumored. I don't know if it's confirmed.
Give me 1 second to Google. The article just says that Olivia Wilde is tapped to direct an untitled female-centered Marvel movie at Sony, and okay. I think that evolved into a Spider-Woman person rumor. Movie.
Okay,
so right now it's not confirmed exactly what it is.
So, Issa Rae. I'll give it a yay because I like Spider-Woman. I like Jessica Drew. She is being brought to screen at all.
Yes.
Next up is also pretty is pictures. We have three pictures now next. And last of our news is just three pictures. And it's Shazam 2, Fury of the Gods, had set pictures that leaked. Which they were spammed all over our feeds everywhere, so we weren't trying to seek out set leaks, but that's what happened.
They're not really big spoiler leaks, though, which thankfully that's not the case.
Yeah, we got to see basically the new Shazam Captain Marvel suit. And overall, I give this one a yay, but I'm giving it an A for one reason. The logo is really bothering me.
I can understand that.
The emblem is really bothering me.
I'm going to give it a yay because personally, I think the way the changes they made to like the texture, things like the gauntlets, the belts and things like that, to me, and like the tone of the muscles as well, I think works a lot better than the first one. I do agree. I don't like the logo change, but overall, I'm going to give it a yay.
All that being said, if you look at the logo from the first one again, the lightning bolt is a little off. But if you look at the picture of Shazam, if you Google it now, Shazam, look at a picture of his chest. The right side of the lightning bolt on his chest is a weird shape. It doesn't match right. And that's always bothered me. So they fixed that part. But overall, the logo doesn't fit well on his chest. It's a little awkward. It's not big enough. It's not long enough. It doesn't glow looking like... it's bothering me a lot. I also want to see the cape on him. If you see the change of the cape.
That's always been something that's weird to me, seeing these characters with capes and then like realizing like most of the time they don't wear the actual capes.
Well, in the first film, it was practical almost the entire time.
Yeah, because it was mostly it was a lot of the like hood kind of stuff, and there wasn't a huge amount of like flying scenes.
Right, and that sounds great. I'd love to see more of the practical capes. I like practical capes a lot, actually.
Yeah.
Because capes in movies now just like always flow like constantly. Like that's not how capes work.
How the wind works.
Yeah. So nay for the lightning bolt. But you said yay overall. I like the suit.
Yeah.
I like the changes overall, but that lightning bolt is really bothering me, so it's a nay. Once they change that, which they won't change, it's better. It could be better in post-production. There's dots on him still. They could do stuff like making the chest bigger and stuff. Who knows how it's going to change in the future. MCU knows they change all stuff all the time in post with costumes.
I mean, it's worked for them though with Spider-Man and Black Panther and Civil War. Like, right. If like again, when I first saw it, I didn't even know it was all CG'd over, and it was. I was just like, oh, well, that's neat.
Yeah. Next up is Thor. If you go to Taika Waititi's Instagram account, who's directing Thor, there's a picture with Dwayne Johnson-sized arms on Chris Hemsworth.
That man has gotten so jacked for this movie.
Yeah, Chris Hemsworth is definitely fitting right now, fitting the male gaze. Like, oh, that's what men want to be like right now. That's ooh, big boy. Whereas on the other side of the picture, we have Taika Waititi as Korg, wearing a very fun costume.
The only thing I care about from this photo is that the fact that Korg is back. That's all I care about is just seeing Korg is back. I love Taika, his writing and directing, but him as Korg is just, it's something special.
Chris Hemsworth looks very large, and his hair is long and blonde.
And I'm pretty sure that's his actual hair, because like there's been photos of him like walking around town like with the hair actually being long.
Which I'm glad, actually.
I'm just like, that's dedication.
It'll be a lot
just
better like, for him.
Everything he does.
Well, like, in Pat, wigs fly around, whereas his actual hair, they won't fly off or in your face as much.
Yeah.
But he is wearing, like, this is leaning heavy into Taika Waititi's 80s love. I do like, though, that on his shirt, it looks like Victorcell, the Tree of Life.
Mm-hmm.
I just noticed that just now. That's cool. This is a yay, because it shows that there's more Korg.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it yay too for only for Korg.
Now next up is from Andy Machete.
Muschietti, I think.
Andy Machete. He likes swords.
Again, we're very white and we're from America. We don't know a whole lot about how to pronounce other people's names.
We are ignorant people.
We are stupid. We are sorry.
But he posted a picture of Michael Keaton's Batman Returns modified suit. A modified version of Batman Returns, Michael Keaton suit,
mm-hmm.
Chest emblem with a bit of blood splatter, which is also reminiscent of the Watchmen logo. And since this movie's about, which also the first picture you release from Flashpoint or from Flash movie should be the Flash. Just saying.
No, because Batman, remember Batman is 95% of all DC things. Oh, so he must be the center of everything.
So anyway, the director of the Flash movie, which posts a picture of of Michael Keaton's Batman, and it looks like a picture. I'll give this. I keep giving names to things, but I'm just mad our first picture is not a Flash picture. That's upsetting. The picture as a whole is cool. I like seeing the return. It is a Returns suit basically back. Probably like more armored since then and stuff, but it looks like the plating. Like if you look at the chest piece, the lower half is very much like Batman Returns. The emblem for Returns, not 89 Batman. I like seeing a classic Batman logo again, though. Like the yellow and stuff. That's nice.
I just had a realization. I'm going to say this is... I'm going to give this an A. Like, I think it's cool to see that, but it's not really for me at the moment. But as we were talking about earlier with, like, people getting, like, theorizing, like, about everything about No Way Home, almost no one is theorizing about this movie. Not a single soul is theorizing about it. No one's guessing just like, oh, this is who the villain is. Ah, this is who other characters are going to be. And, like, there's nothing of it. The only thing that we get is what's confirmed from the movie. And it's just like, we have multiple Batman. We have Supergirl. We have this. And Flash is going to appear in it. And it's just like, I think that this is the kind of like will be the result of like what happens like when like everything gets put into a movie and the main character like doesn't get focused on. Like I don't know if No Way Home is going to be like that, but like that's kind of what we fear it's going to be. I think that this is what that's going to be. It's just like it's going to do so much and the main character is going to be so sidelined, and it's just not going to really know what it's doing. It's not that I don't have faith in the director. He's done good stuff in the past, but just with everything Warner Brothers has done, this has me very worried. I think it's cool getting Batman, Ben Affleck, and Michael Keaton back in those roles. I think that's a cool thing. I'm curious to see what the new Supergirl is going to be like. But, like, again, this is supposed to be a Flash movie. A Flash movie, people. Let's not forget this. But apparently they have already forgotten.
To your point about theorizing, I feel like it's because people are like, this should be a Flashpoint. We're not going to theorize. We know the comics. But instead, they're going so far away from Flashpoint at this point that there's nothing to theorize. We're like, we don't know what's happening at all anymore. There's nothing to go off of.
But I mean, like with No Way Home, no one has any fucking clue what's happening with that movie. So it's just like they're just theorizing the hell out of it. So it's just like now I feel like would be the time to start theorizing again. It's just like, okay, so we know that they're going to use Flashpoint to an extent. How can this all tie in? Because at first when it was just, I can't remember if it was Michael Keane or Ben Affleck was confirmed first, but whenever one of them was confirmed, people were just like, oh, he's going to be the mentor, kind of like how it was in the comics. But now that's very clearly not going to be the case.
So we don't know that.
We don't know that. But again, this is the problem.
Yeah, I'll give it a... The suit looks good, but I'm giving it an A because the first picture should be out Flash, not Batman.
Yeah, you kind of dropped the ball on that one, guys. But honestly, again, I'm not surprised because this is WB and Batman is king at WB.
I'm excited because I want to see Ben again. I'm excited for that. I'm excited because I like Ezra's Barry. Acting wise, at least, I like a lot of what DC has to offer, but right now they don't know what they're offering.
No, they really do not. Like, it's clear they're using Flashpoint to do like what X-Men did with Days of Future Past, just to fix the mistakes. But to them, the mistakes aren't really the mistakes. They created their own mistakes and instead are doubling down that what they did was in the right, which, again, we've covered this before. It very much was not. The changes they made the things even worse. So it's just like, what are you guys doing?
Now, on to our main topic. Now we're in. This podcast is originally going to be pretty short. This is probably our longest one yet. I'm not sure. This is our super weird story. It's also our main topic because it's going to be a little bit longer probably than normal, like 15, 20 minutes than it normally is. This one's going to probably be about half an hour to like 40 minutes, and it's about something that actually happened in real life, Josh.
Wow.
A super weird story. Do you know about real life superheroes at all?
I remember when I went to go to the theater to see Kick-Ass 2, very disappointing movie. At the Alamo Drafthouse, they like to show clips of things that could be related to the movie. And there were some clips of like people like actually dressing up like superheroes and just like patrolling the streets, being kind of like vigilantes. I don't really remember specifics of it. I just remember that like there are people that are actually doing that, which is a thing.
So here we go. Benjamin John Francis Fodor. Okay?
Okay.
Born in 1988 in Texas. Is a real-life superhero. Retired. I think. So it gets complicated. This man initially wore a ski mask to intervene in a public assault. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Fodor later developed a full costume. And it's a lot. So he was the leader of the Rain City superhero movement in Seattle, Washington.
Mm.
He based a citizen patrol group that like described itself as a crime prevention brigade. Brigade. And I don't know where to begin with this. So he made a super suit, an actual super suit.
Mm.
The suit is a mostly rubbery looking material.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all black and with a fun like gold like Nightwing looking stripe on it.
Mm-hmm.
This man is Phoenix Jones. That is his superhero name. And no one knew who he was. He actually had a real secret identity, too.
Wow.
Yeah, he was... One of what his occupation was by day?
He worked in the mailroom, or he was a cop.
A mixed martial artist professionally.
Wow.
So he went through origin story time.
Wow.
And I love that. So Jones says he wanted to take policing matters in his own hands after a few incidents changed his mind about Seattle. The first was when Jones says that his car was broken into and his son was injured after returning to the vehicle and falling on the broken glass. So he had the moment of, my family is getting hurt. I need to become a superhero. That happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
He also was told that several people saw the break-in happen but did not intervene. So later, Jones says that he encountered a friend being seriously assaulted at a bar, and after calling 911, he put on the mask from the earlier break-in and made a commotion until the police showed up. He said, I thought, why didn't someone help him? There were 70 people outside that calling a bar, and no one did anything. So basically he took it on himself and decided to make himself be who would help people. That's kind of cool. What do you think of this so far?
Dude, a lot of stuff you said, I am just thinking just like so much of this happened in the first Kick-Ass movie and in the second movie.
But
when did this happen, like time frame wise?
Hold on. Around 2011, 2013, like late 2000. What?
Yeah, that is like right around the time the first Kick-Ass came out to when the second one did.
This happened before Kick-Ass, before the movie wise at least.
Well, the movie came out in 2010.
No, I know, but like he had a first press thing in 2011, it looks like.
Never mind.
So he was patrolling and doing stuff before then.
Gotcha.
So he went on to develop a full costume and pseudonym when his crime-fighting behavior made him too recognizable. So in a CBS News broadcast, Jones is shown entering a back room of an unarmed comic book store in which he changes into his costume, which consists of dragon skin brand bulletproof vest and with stab plating. So he doesn't, and as well as his equipment includes a stun baton, pepper spray, tear gas, and handcuffs, and a first aid kit.
I mean, you gotta be prepared.
So he has, and his entire motif is he doesn't harm people necessarily. He goes and helps people. So his things he has are like for stunning and for things like getting people incapacitated, not for actually killing or hurting people. He has handcuffs with him. He is designed pretty much as an extension of police force, which is really fascinating. This is focused on, like, he wanted to be, because cops couldn't always help. This is wild, right?
Yes.
I'm not crazy to think this is wild.
No.
So he then eventually created a superhero movement there in Seattle, which called the Rain City Superhero Movement. And in July 2011, local police recorded 10 citizens patrolling the city in costume and superhero costumes, using the names Thorn, Buster Doe, Green Reaper, The Mantis, Gemini, No Name, Catastrophe, Thunder 88, Penelope, and Phoenix Jones. An individual using the pseudonym Red Dragon has also claimed to be a member of the group. Wait, what? So someone else just claimed to join them?
My favorite name of this group is No Name. Just like the person just like got asked on the spot, what's your name? Just like No Name.
And eventually, want to know a fun fact?
Yes.
He dated and then married another superhero.
Well, that is,
And that superhero is called Purple Rain.
Good for them.
His story has a, hold on, it's not done yet. The story can take a twist.
Oh, twisty twist.
Arrest records, ready for that? Well, injuries first or arrest records first?
Either or.
Because you think you get hurt, right?
Of course.
Jones reports being stabbed with a knife while trying to intervene with a drug dealer and a resident, damaging part of his costume, which had to be repaired. That's pretty standard superhero stuff. He has told police that his ballistic vest helped stop a bullet during an incident in Tacoma. That's pretty cool. In 2011, Jones claims to have had his nose broken by an assailant while attempting to break up a fight. When one of the men pulled a gun on him while another one kicked him, breaking his nose. This incident was never reported to police and was treated by Jones' private doctor. So he has a private doctor, too, to help him, like Alfred style.
How much money does this man have?
Well, he was a professional athlete for a while. He didn't mind.
Ah.
He worked mixed martial arts, amateur and professional. In his mixed martial arts record, he had 7 wins, 3 losses, and in 11 matches with 1 draw. That's not terrible, I don't think.
No, stats-wise, that's pretty decent.
He's also huge. Does that surprise you?
No.
Do you want to see a picture of this man?
Yes.
Okay. So, just in costume or what?
Both.
His costume looks awesome. It is, again, it's got a cool black. It's got gold on it. Like, look at this suit.
That is a dope suit.
It is. It looks like a superhero costume.
That like looks like a mix of Spawn and someone else.
Like Steel. Cool.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Plus, like Nightwing kind of styling.
Yeah.
And he's had a few different designs with it. Like you can see on this picture right here, the gold was different design here. Actually, I think maybe that's just his helmet covering it. But that's him with the mask off. he actually had a Spider-Man Civil War moment too. What happened?
He did?
Yes. So in Civil War, the comic book series, Spider-Man had this huge moment where this hero, to testify in court to help defend a case, had to unmask himself publicly. Mm-hmm. And it was a huge deal.
Yeah.
Like, the world didn't know who he was. And all, like, he was actually, like, a legit secret identity kind of person. And then he unveiled himself to the world, and there was press release about it. And then he was, like, it was decided if he was arrested or not. Seattle City Attorney Pete Holmes. Wait, hold on. Is that actually his name? Hold on, because Pete Holmes is someone else entirely. Okay, politician Pete Holmes, not comedian. Seattle City Attorney Pete Holmes has called Jones a deeply misguided individual, which, fair. But, like, the idea is nice.
Yeah.
In 2011, Jones was arrested for investigation after assault after using pepper spray to break up an alleged fight. He spent approximately 7 hours in jail before posting the $3,800 bail. No charges were filed, and the case later dropped that month.
Yes.
The end of his reign has happened, of his vigilantism, because of this. On January 9th, 2020, this last year, Jones was arrested for allegedly selling methamphetamine to an undercover police officer. At the time of his arrest, police alleged that he and his accomplice were also in possession of about 4 grams of cocaine. Now, again, I don't know the case. I don't know much about that part specifically.
Mm-hmm.
But Phoenix Jones' story is not done. He is still, like, there's still stuff happening around his life, and that's wild to me.
Yeah.
There are other real superheroes around the entire world. Most of them do stuff like help homeless people or, like, volunteer at food trailers in a costume. That's cute. But, like, this guy actually patrolled the streets every single night, broke up fights, pepper sprayed people, helped get people down, helped stop sexual assaults, got shot at by bullets. He was a real-life Batman for a while. And that's wild.
That's crazy.
Until he had to unmask himself publicly because he had to testify in court to help someone's defense. If that doesn't end up being a superhero, I don't really know what it is.
That is insane. Why has Hollywood not made a movie about this man's life yet?
Do you want more information?
If you get sub.
Talk about his $100,000 super suit donation drive. Because that's a big number.
It certainly is.
So he's $100,000super suit donation drive. Basically, Phoenix Jones started a donation drive in order to fund getting a new state-of-the-art armor battle suit. Because naturally, of course, every superhero needs a new state-of-the-art armored battle suit for walking in Seattle. Many members of his community, his superhero community, such as the Urban Avenger, found this action to be immoral due to the fact that the donation drive was linked to Purple Rain's charitable website, which is his wife.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, yeah, he tried to crowdfund a new suit for himself.
Mm-hmm.
This man, the audacity he has, I don't understand. Phoenix Jones, his name comes from Phoenix. He likes Greek mythology. That's kind of Phoenix means rebirth. Jones is the most common last name there is. One of the most common last names there is. So it represents the idea of being that regular people can hold others accountable for their actions. That's kind of cool. He wanted to be a rebirth everyman, I guess. So he also, ready for more information about his equipment?
Yeah.
There's more. In addition to his suit, Jones carries a variety of weapons that he uses against criminals. Pepper spray, stun gun, baton, flip phone.
Huh?
He carried a flip phone with him. I'm guessing because it was harder to break. Handcuffs and a modified riot shield.
That's so much stuff. And even, like, a modified riot shield, like, can be really heavy. And, like, you also have a $100,000 suit that can stop, like, stabs and bullets. Like, that's gonna be heavy. And, like, this man clearly, like, has muscles. But still.
Jones has also stated that at one point he used a net launcher, but ultimately stopped using it after it backfired on him. That's gotta suck. Imagine dropped by a criminal and it launches back at you.
I'd love for that to happen to Batman one time.
He also always wore a GoPro, to film his patrols. That way he always had records of what was happening and could give proper evidence.
That's smart.
He even carried a grappling hook when he first started.
It didn't work.
But got rid of it after realizing that it wasn't practical.
Yeah, most grappling hooks that exist are not like Batman's where they can just shoot you up to the sky. Like, there's physics behind it that's not possible.
The Mythbusters did make that.
They did make it, yes.
In regards to transportation, he used a number of vehicles, one of which was a 1988 Geo Prism. He set up a computer in at least one of these vehicles.
This is wow.
If this man was trying to be Batman.
I love you have like a Phoenix Jones, like, you know, having basically like being the real life Batman, and then you have like Kick-Ass just like buying like a swimsuit and just like having batons, and then that's all he has.
So in his appearance, prior to acquiring his black and gold suit, he used a suit composed of a black ski mask, a black fedora. Because remember Dr. Vampire's fedora? That's a good thing to use, you know?
Of course.
A gray skin-tight shirt and black and white trunks on the outside with a white utility belt and black cape. So, in the early days of his career, he wore a tear-off boys-to-men suit, apparently. So,
oh my.
Which covered his suit underneath, so he could look Superman-style, like, rip into battle. And after the pepper spraying incident, like, which we had to go to a court for, or something like that, or police, he got arrested for pepper spraying someone, I think, for assault charge, but it was turned out to be he was self-defense and helping someone else with that, and I think that got settled. The Seattle PD confiscated his first black and gold suit, but Jones quickly replaced it with a similar one. So he had a spare.
I mean, it makes sense because, like, even like he knows that it's just like the suit's gonna get ruined, stolen. Something's gonna happen to it. He should have another.
But overall, that's insane. What do you think about Phoenix freaking Jones?
This is certainly something. As I said before, like, there's a lot of similarities between like him and Kick-Ass. But the fact that it's real, like, is even crazier to think of. My favorite thing is hearing the that he inspired, like, a whole bunch of other people to become superheroes, because that is the exact thing that happens in Kick-Ass 2. He joins, like, this, like, little, group that, like, is made of a bunch of superheroes, and they all range from, like, you know, being children to being, like, parents to, like, things like that. And, like, to see that happen in real life is just crazy to me. It's so fascinating to see this stuff happen. Do I think that people should risk their lives for this kind of stuff? I don't know.
I learned he has foes.
He has foes.
What the first one listed is crime, and that's really funny to me. The second foe listed is Rex Velvet.
Rex, that's a name if I've ever heard one.
Velvet, whose real name is Ryan Corey. He's a self-proclaimed real-life supervillain. Self-proclaimed. The off America who first... Wait.
Huh?
What? So he first tried to just call out Phoenix Jones and Ringo, I think. He tried to make himself his foe, basically.
Oh.
That's kind of lame. He's got... Oh, Purple Rain is also now his ex-wife. Not his current wife anymore, I guess.
Ah.
That's not... Rip. Rip.
Sad.
Superhero love does not last.
Rip my guy.
Purple Rain. Do you want to see a picture of her?
Sure.
Let's get a picture of this person for you.
God, now I just want to go back and watch the Kick-Ass movies.
Just the first one, it's fine. I haven't seen the second one yet.
The second one's so disappointing.
So, this is Phoenix Jones with Purple Rain. And they look like superheroes. This looks like a scene from a movie. His costume, out of all the superheroes, though, is the most expensive one. And the most protective one.
Yeah.
Because his was like, bulletproof and stab-proof.
I think it's smart of Purple Rain to, like, clearly, like, that's a wig and then having the mask on her as well. I think smart to secret identities.
Okay, as you say that, here's a picture of Purple Rain without the mask.
Because her hair is purple.
She eventually started dyeing her hair.
Well, good for her.
Her suit became more advanced once she started, I think, dating Phoenix Jones.
Ah, so that's the whole reason. I think. She just wanted to upgrade her gear.
Because her suit became a lot more, you can see it in this picture, armored, like his. Mm-hmm. Oh, Purple Rain, she has purple hair, she has a purple and black suit, she used to wear a mask too, but like a COVID mask, not like a domino mask. God, we can say now like a COVID mask. That's so weird.
So, I want to know what it's like for like these like real life superheroes to watch like comic book like movies and shows now, because like how does that work? I'm so curious.
See, I feel like he breaks the Sokovia Accords.
Yeah,
but he wasn't most of the time breaking the law. Like anyway, he was watching people and helping break up fights and knew his rights and basically just mostly monitored. It was very much, I am here to make sure you're okay in a fight. He's got a mob before. He's had a bunch of people like come and try and attack or kill him, which is terrifying.
Oh, easily.
He's gotten beaten down numerous times, but he always got back up, and that's pretty cool. Now, okay, for any people who want to do this, don't do this.
It is very, this is dangerous, very dangerous.
And also, he's been arrested numerous times. He's been shot, tased, beaten. Like, this man... Batman is not your goal, people. Do not emulate comic book superheroes. Any more thoughts or any questions on Phoenix Jones I can answer for you?
Honestly, like, this is pretty cool and interesting, weird story. Yeah, I very much enjoy this. I don't think I really have many other questions.
I think the statement from the district attorney, I think it was, or someone? Yes, city attorney saying a deeply misguided individual is probably pretty accurate. Anyone who puts on a bulletproof, stab-proof suit to go patrol city and stop crime is a little bit misguided, I think.
But that easily, means, like in Kick-Ass, like his sole motivation, like for just like putting on the costume and going out patrolling, was he thought it would be cool, and then he nearly died the second he did it.
Yeah, I think that's about it. Phoenix Jones was a cool dude, and then either die hero, or he lived long enough to see himself become the villain. That's kind of what happened here. It was a you can find out about more information if you look up Phoenix Jones stuff on your own. And please do. It's a very interesting case to look up.
Yes.
I went on a few different articles and said some highlights of things. But overall, Ben Fogel, what's his name? Fogel? Fodor. Benjamin Fodor is a very fascinating man. And I hope he's not dead at this point. Not dead. I hope he's doing okay.
Because if he's like survived beatdowns and stuff like that, I think he's going to keep going until he like comes very, very close to death. He is
33.
Really?
He is younger than you would probably think, right?
Yeah.
Like this, yeah, because he did this like almost a decade ago. Or he did it a decade ago.
Oh damn, god, so he was close to our age.
That's wild. And he fought, and he actually helped people make a difference. That's cool. So thank you all for listening to the podcast this week. That was it. We have, I know it wasn't maybe not the longest main topic in the world or longest talk about our superhero stories. We kind of combine them because I want to do a bit of more of an extended weird story, and that fit out well with this. And plus, it allows us to rant about Xenon a little more, and that's always fun.
Yes.
Because that movie is nonsense. Anyway, if you have any other questions, comments, concerns, or if we want shout-outs, you want send us a theme song. I'd love a theme song.
Yes.
Even if the theme song is just like cat scratching, we'll play it next time.
Yes.
And send it to us at nerdtalkproductionsyt@gmail.com or tweet at us at nerdtalk_prod and using the hashtag GeekSpeakPod. You can find me on Twitter at TheTheaterNerd, and I also run all the GeekSpeak and NerdTalk social media pages.
Josh. This is the part where I come in with my social media stuff.
Yeah.
You can find me on the Twitters at J_Rudy28, on the Instagrams at J_Rudy16. You can check out my YouTube channel, Josh Rudolph, where I do movie reviews, video essays, other random stuff at very random times throughout the years.
Yeah, and if we sound tired, it's because we are. We're now recording this. We're ending this podcast at 3:50 in the morning.
Bit later than we wanted to record.
Yeah, we were planning on recording at like midnight. That's not what happened. So, good night.
good night or good morning, whenever you're listening to this.
Thank you for listening so much. It's really appreciated. We will get a better start on next week's sooner.
Yes.
Anyway, thank you for listening. make sure to give us 5-star reviews on everything and tell us you like this podcast, because it's always nice to hear. All right. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.